CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Silicon Valley Bank, no longer accepting deposits, waiting for the Federal Reserve regulators and everyone else watching to return the money of the people who keep their money in the Silicon Valley Bank. Investors, not so lucky. I welcome Break the Glass, Brett Ahrens, because not quite a market crash, but certainly a major event has happened around the world to banking shares and to doubts about the U.S. banking system. Systemic risk is again in the conversation. Brett, a very good evening to you. I only call upon you when the market crashes. This is a boutique crash having to do with banks, but it is nonetheless reminiscent of what we lived through in 2008. The federal government is keen to say there is no bailout. However, at the same time, setting that moment aside, at the same time, the question is there contagion? The word contagion is the great risk factor here. After a day's trading, do you see evidence that this is spreading? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Good evening. Yes, you know, as your listeners will remember when we talked about this on Friday, all sorts of people were going around saying, oh, this is a one bank issue. It's a very specific issue to SVB. There's no systemic risk. It won't spread. And as I said on Friday, you know, they said that in 2007, 2008. They might be right, but they have no way of knowing. So you should just ignore those comments. Those people who say, oh, everything's fine, just ignore them because they said exactly the same thing in 2008. Well, what we've seen today has been absolute chaos, really, in banking stocks. We've got banking stocks down. Schwab was down about 25% at one point. First Republic's down about 60%. We have absolute chaos in the banking sector, at least as regards the stocks. So clearly, the market fears that there is contagion, and everyone I talk to thinks that other banks are going to be shuttered. Or would be very surprised if other banks aren't shuttered before this is over. So, yes, I mean, the problem with, you know, Warren Buffett famously said, you know, there's never one cockroach. You know, when you go into a house and there's a cockroach, that's not the only cockroach. It's just the one you saw. So, you know, when this happens, you know, it sparks a bank run. So it becomes sort of self-sustaining. And essentially, a system that might have been okay is essentially put into crisis by the crisis itself. But actually, somebody I was talking to made a very interesting point. He said, this isn't the biggest banking collapse in U.S. history, but it has to be the fastest. Because SVB, if you look at the SVB stock price, so you look at the banking stock prices, you look at the interest rate markets, the bond markets, the stock market, everything. Last Wednesday, everything was fine. Everything was fine. We had a bank that was the 16th largest bank in America that went from being perceived as completely sound to collapsed and vanished within 48 hours, two trading days. And we're now a third trading day, and we have other banks collapsing. You know, when the banks collapsed in 2008, this took months. This didn't happen in 48 hours.
The observation you just made about 2008 is helpful. We're old enough to remember. And at that time, we were told the reason that the Treasury moved effectively over the course of September 2008 was because these banks were too big to fail. We had to support them. And that was the big stuff. Bank America, Citicorp, Goldman's was involved, all the major names. These banks are not in that category. They're not even close to that category. They're called regional banks. So too big to fail. Is that an old concept? Am I remembering something that's no longer useful? Any bank that fails is threat to the system?
Well, I mean, that may well be the case. I mean, as you know, the federal government or the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation insures deposits up to $250,000. So the system, the agreement was up until Friday that if you had more than $250,000 at a bank, you were not insured. You know, it would be the equivalent of having a $10 million house, but only taking out insurance for $250,000 worth. And then the house collapses, and the federal government steps in and basically says, oh, we're going to pretend that you basically had full insurance. So essentially, everyone, the depositors, are getting full insurance. We have I mean, you could see this as essentially part of the broader, what some people call the snowflake tendency, the broader, you know, movement towards a system where people are not allowed to, or people are protected from pain to a degree that may or may not be wise. What we have now is essentially the federal government has stepped in and said, even if you had more than $250,000, you're going to be made whole. It's not a bailout, but it's sort of a magic accounting, and we're going to pretend that those bonds are the value they used to be. The problem is, once you do this once, how do you not do this for another bank or other banks? You do.
That's the contagion. Now, monetary policy. The Federal Reserve is committed to establishing ferociously against sticky inflation. We were expecting a quarter point, half a point in March. We were expecting the Fed to continue to raise rates this year. I know they're blaming the Fed's sharp increase in rates for some of these problems. But in any event, what is the bond market now saying how we will end 2023 in the Federal Reserve rate?
There has been a move in the bond market that has got to be the biggest since 2008. I've never seen anything quite like this. In a matter of days, the bond market has essentially done a 180. It has decided that there will either be no more Fed rate hikes or maybe at the most one more 25 basis point hike, and that the Fed by the summer will be cutting rates. They have basically, the bond market has essentially cut about a full basis point or even more off the projected rates by the end of this year. A week ago, they thought we were heading for we were going to have about 5% rates. Now they think we're going to have 3.75%. So that's 1.25 percentage points off the expected interest rate at the end of this year. That is a huge move in a matter of essentially a few days.
That's not about inflation. That's about the credibility of the systemic risk. It's about the banks. So that means inflation is with us. Is that correct? It's going to stay.
The market is now thinking that we're going to have an economic slump, either a recession or at least a crisis. And they're hoping that this will kill inflation as well as economic activity. Of course, the danger is that we end up in stagflation. We end up in a situation where essentially economic growth has slowed as a result of the banking crisis and other issues, while at the same time, inflation remains persistent. We had this in the 70s. We had slow growth and we had inflation. The market has not really prepared for that all the way along. They basically assumed that if we had a slowdown, it was going to kill inflation as well as economic activity. So there has been almost no betting up until now on stagflation. I have noticed that inflation-protected treasury bonds, which are about the only protection against stagflation, have rallied quite sharply in the last few days. Now, all bonds have rallied, so on the basis of a slowdown. But I do watch inflation-protected bonds particularly closely, and I've noticed that they've rallied. That might be the market starting to prepare for the risk of stagflation.
Right now, 30 seconds, Brad. This is not over? Question mark?
No, it's not over. It clearly isn't over. The stock market and the banking stocks are showing that there's further contagion. The question, I guess, is going to be at what point does the Fed step in and provide the kind of assurance that would stabilize the market? And I guess it probably has to get worse before it can get better.
The famous Fed put. Brett Ahrens of Market Watch. Break the glass, Brett. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,